I welcome everyone tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that the word of God will impact our lives and will refresh our lives. And the promises of God will be yes and amen in every life in Jesus' name. Now you know that there are many psalms we have looked at, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, and 78. But what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to pick one verse in Psalm 74, because we need it so very much. Once that verse is settled, all the other parts of our lives and ministry will be settled in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you at this time and bless your name. We thank you, Lord, because your word is still fresh and your word is still having all that you have put into it. And we pray, O Lord, you lift your people above all the situations, circumstances, and problems of life in Jesus' name. Impact every life tonight. And Lord, so energize us, and so empower us, and so lift us up. We'll march forward, never looking back, and we'll lift other people in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We're looking at Psalm 74, and we're reading from verse 9. Psalm 74, reading from verse 9. We see not our signs, and there is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Here was the cry of the psalmist. Here was the passion of the psalmist. Here was the observation of the psalmist. He said, we see not our signs. As you look at all the psalms, and you think about prosperity for the children of God, and you also see victory and triumph for the people of God as individuals and families and as a nation. That was a sign among the people of God. The miracle, the provision, the water out of the rock, and the manna out of heaven, and all their needs met when they had the signs, supernatural signs among them. If there's any complaint at all, and if there is any sorrow at all, if there's any affliction at all, if there is any incurable disease, and if there is any oppression of the enemy upon the children of Israel, and all that you read in the Psalms of their complaints, and also of their tears, of their sorrow, of the pressure, and everything culminates in this: we see not our signs. And then it says, and there is no more any prophet. The psalmist is looking back to the time when there was a prophet, one prophet in the whole nation, Moses, one prophet in the whole nation, Elijah, one prophet in the whole nation, and that's Elisha. And you think about the time that they lived. They said, if the prophet will just appear, it doesn't matter the economy, it doesn't matter the oppression, it doesn't matter the powers that be oppressing them. All they needed was to see a prophet in the land. All these problems we're reading about in the Psalms, everything would have finished. And now it says, and neither is there any of us that knoweth how long. How long we're going to be in this situation? No sign, no supernatural, no wonders, and then no prophet. That's why tonight we're looking at the message, desiring the signs of God's choosing people. When God chose them, he gave them a sign. He called Moses. And where Moses was, God gave him a sign. He said, you're going to a difficult, hard-hearted king, Pharaoh. He will not listen to you, but the signs will break him down. And the signs will devastate Egypt. And the signs will liberate the people of God and the signs will provide all the needs of the people. He gave him the sign. And when God called Elijah, you know, the signs for the whole nation, that even though Ahab was terrible and wicked, yet that man with the sign of the prophet was able to have a breakthrough for the whole nation. We can go one by one to all the prophets. All we need is to see our signs again, and then to see the mark and the demonstration of the prophetic ministry again, all problems will be solved. All tears will be wiped away, and sorrow will vanish away, and then we will live again in the good old days of the supernatural taking place everywhere. It will get to your turn. It will get to everyone's turn, and then all the regrets and all the sorrow and all the timidity and all the fear and all the cowering and everything will vanish. Even from tonight in your life, they'll vanish in Jesus' name. There are 3 points we're looking at. Number one, the past signs among God's purchased people. He purchased the children of Israel. He bought them from captivity and brought them unto himself. And from that moment on, as they stepped out, look at the pillar of fire and look at the pillar of cloud. As they stepped out, look at the dividing of the Red Sea. As they stepped out, look at the manna coming every day. Look at the Shekinah glory in their temple. And look at the joy they had. Amalekites came, they finished them, and all the kings of Og and Bashan, they stood in faith because they had signs. That's why the psalmist was saying, in the past we saw the signs among God's purchased people. What are the signs? Number two now, the predicted signs through glib, perverted prophets. When the people of God don't have any sign, when there's no prophetic ministry among the people of God, then godless people will rise up. The magicians of Egypt will rise up. Balaams will rise up. And all those false prophets of Baal, they will rise up, and they will be showing some pseudo signs. The people will say, after all, the people that say they're children of God, they're people of God, there is no sign, but look at this one, they're demonstrating something. Everything is going to turn around. All those magicians of Egypt and all those astrologers of Babylon, they're going to be put to shame even before you in Jesus' name. Your signs will come back. The supernatural will come back. The good old days will come back. I'm telling you, you will feel you are starting ministry afresh again. And if you have been tired and then you are weak and you're almost turning back, you're saying, oh Lord, give me a place to stand. I will move my community. It is coming. For me, it is coming. It will come in Jesus' name. Number three is the promise supernatural for purified godly people. The promise supernatural for godly purified people. Let's come to point number one. In point number one, we're reading from Psalm 74 again, reading from verse 9. And look at the two things there. Number one, the signs. Number two, the prophet. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. As the psalmist looked back at the history of the children of Israel, he said, we have always been people with the supernatural sign. In fact, as to start from the time of Abraham, even before Moses, you look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 7. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, it tells us about Abraham, and look at what God said about Abraham. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. And the man had said, are you going to destroy the whole nation? I didn't know. I took his wife because I thought she was a sister. Are you going to destroy me? my family, and the whole nation. And God said, now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. For he is a prophet, the father of the nation of Israel, Abraham. He is a prophet. And then it says, he shall pray for thee, for thou and thou shalt live. It says, when the prophet appears, the death penalty that had been on you as the king, as the emperor, as the ruler, all that death penalty will vanish away because of the presence of the sign of a prophet. Look at verse 17. In verse 17 of that same chapter, it tells us about what Abraham did. And as Abraham prayed for him, it says, so Abraham, the prophet, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech the ruler, and his wife, and his maid servant, and the bear children. That's why the psalmist, as he looked back to the history of the children of Israel, said, where are the signs? We see not our signs. And then he says, and there is neither a prophet as well, and we do not know how long this will continue. Hosea chapter 12, we're reading from verse 10. Hosea chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets. That's God saying, look at your history and look at the past. I have spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. The children of Israel in their past history, they had the ministry of the prophets. Look at this. Look at verse 13. Very important. Verse 13. In verse 13, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't by an orator. The man was a stammerer. It wasn't by popularity or whatever. The man was a shepherd behind the scene, and he was even far away, but God located him. The Lord will locate you. Amen. Wherever you are located already in Jesus' name. And he made him a prophet. And look at this, it says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. By a prophet, they came out, their conversion. By a prophet, they came out, their redemption. By the prophet, they came out, separation from Egypt, and they were preserved in the wilderness. They were preserved when they crossed over River Jordan. They were preserved when they got to Canaan. And as you look at their history, it was the ministry of the prophet, and it says they were preserved by the ministry of the prophet. Let's look at just a few of them. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 34. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, we're reading from verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 34, reading from verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. There arose not a prophet in the land of Israel since that time he died like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. But why that? Because Moses himself had said unto Joshua, he said, are you jealous of me that you are defending me as if I would be the only prophet in the land? He said, oh, that all the people of God were prophets, and the Spirit of God will abide in them. That was his desire. But the people just carried on religion as usual, and then tradition as usual, were children of Abraham. And because of that, they had no passion. They had no pursuit, they had no desire, and they were not consecrating, wanting to meet up the challenge of the day. And so it says, because of that, since there was no passion or consecration to become what God would have made of them, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, in all the signs, in all the signs. You know, as Moses appeared before Pharaoh for the very first time, and Pharaoh said, what sign are you showing that you say God has sent you? And you're saying, let my people go. And then the signs the Lord had given him, he threw the rod down and it became serpent. He picked it up again. And Pharaoh said, that's nothing. And Pharaoh called the magicians and they threw their rods down. By their enchantment, they became serpents. And then the serpent coming from the rod of Moses swallowed up all those serpents and they lost their power. The time is coming. The time has arrived. All those people that are trying to counterfeit and they're trying to duplicate the real sign of the church of the living God, all their powers will be swallowed up in Jesus' name. And then Moses just pointed the rod to all their rivers. All the rivers became blood and they had nothing to drink. And they knew this is the hand of God. Eventually, the magicians told Pharaoh and they said, let these people go. Let this man go, because this is the finger of God. That's what he's saying about the sign and about the prophet before the children of Israel. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And then in verse 12, look at verse 12, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. If that could happen again with any church and with any group of believers, that the signs and the supernatural will come again, so we're no more crying, we see not our signs, neither is there any prophet in the land, and we do not know, no man knows how long that will be. If the Lord will bring back the days of power and the days of signs and wonders, all the problems that people are battling with, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. And you remember when Elijah came on the scene. When prophets arrive, they arrive so that they can restore the nation back to God. The whole of the children of Israel, they had gone away from the Lord and they were now serving Baal, the whole nation, and there was no visible sign of a prophet, of a real man of God. And then Elijah appeared in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it says Elijah the Tishbite, when he appeared, he said, hear the word of the Lord, there'll be no dew or rain all these years according to my word. One single man in the whole nation, he locked up heaven and the whole nation did not have rain. Eventually, you know the story, when he got to the widow's house, how the Lord multiplied the meal over there. And then when the child died, the signs of the prophet, he prayed and then the child arose up, whether in his personal life at the Brook Cherit or it is in the family taking care of him, the signs were there all the time, and supernatural power was manifested anywhere he was. If that sign could come back in your life, if the supernatural could come back in your life, evangelism will be easier, and then the power of God will be moving everywhere. They say that's a problem there, that's a problem there. You will bring solution to all those problems in Jesus' name. Eventually, he came and then he told the nation, after he had said Ahab should gather all the people together, he said, why are you halting between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. And the people could not say anything at all. And then he said, all right, you have many prophets of Baal. Let them take their bullock and let them prepare the altar and let them pray to their God. The God that brings fire from heaven, he will be the God. And the people said, that's right. That's what we're going to do. They tried, they tried, they tried. They failed. They'll fail before Elijah. if another Elijah could rise up today in your community, in your local church, and since the promise of God is for everyone, my brother, why not you? My sister, why not you? Eventually, after they failed, like they are going to fail before you. Then Elijah said, "Oh, you come aside. Let's read that together. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 36. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, now he came and he challenged them, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet, understand that, Elijah the prophet, if the prophet is there, and if he's a prophet of God and the man of God, the sign of the people of God, purchased people of God, the sign must be there. It says, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to your word, at thy word. Look at verse 37. In verse 37, it says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Remember, he's asking for the conversion and the restoration of the whole nation, not just of one person, not just of one family. And it is a sign, it's the supernatural that will get that to happen. And then in verse 38, we're told, then the fire of the Lord fell, and the fire of God will fall, and the power of God will fall, and consume the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the doors, and lick up the water that was in the trench. Look at the result and look at the consequence. Once the prophet arrives, and once the signs, the supernatural, once they're there, in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, that's the whole nation, when all the people saw it from every tribe, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord is God, and the Lord is God. They turned from idolatry, they turned from their iniquity, they turned from their doubts and unbelief, and they turned unto the Lord. When the sign appears, that's why we're passionate, and that's why we're desiring. We see the signs of the past, and we're saying, where are the signs today? And then we've read about that's Elijah. You remember the man that followed Elijah? That's the man that said he wanted a double portion of the Spirit. There were other people, sons of the prophets, in the land. But what did they care about the signs? What did they know about the signs? And they were in the school of a prophet. But they didn't have the passion, and they didn't have the pursuit of wanting the signs of the prophets to be upon them. But this man, Elisha, he kept on following. And then Elijah said, what do you want that I should do unto you before I be taken away from you? And he said, all I'm asking for, and the reason I'm following you intimately, and the reason I'm not looking back, is that I want a double portion of your power. Double portion. Somebody shout, double portion. It will come in Jesus' name. And then eventually he saw him going up, and he said, my father, and the chariot of Israel. And then he took his own mantle, and he tore his mantle, and then he took the mantle that fell from Elijah. He got to Jordan, and he said, where is he, the God of Elijah? And when he smote that river, he parted into two. And even the people that saw, they said, the power and the spirit of Elijah has come upon Elisha. Like the spirit will come upon you. Power will come upon your life. And then all your cold and all the spiritual fever, spiritual malaria, and the spiritual shivering that you are covering yourself, you are hiding yourself, everything from tonight will vanish away. Power will come. authority will come, and the signs will come. And that man, Elisha, they played the first place he got to was Jericho. And the people said, the land is good, but the water is not, because the people were dying. He said, bring me a cruse, and then he put salt there and put it at the fountain there, and the river and the water helping and feeding the whole of that community, everything was healed. And then as he went on, there were people, that there were kings that were fighting against the king of Israel. And then they went to him and said, look at this, there's no water to drink. He said, dig ditches. And as they did that, water came supernaturally. Supernatural provision is coming. It's coming upon your life, and it's coming upon your family. And you remember that somebody that had debts they could not pay, and they wanted to take the children. Then the woman came to Elisha, and he said, what do you have at home? He said, nothing except just a little oil. He said, go borrow vessels, not a few. Poverty is going to vanish away. All this economic crunch, recession, it will vanish away in Jesus' name. Let a prophet appear, and let the signs of the prophet, let the signs come. All this says, I don't have enough to eat, I cannot pay my house rent, I cannot do this, something will happen. And then she borrowed all the vessels, and she poured and she poured. And then we're told, when all the vessels have been filled, all the vessels in your house, when they have been filled, all the vessels in your family, when they have been filled, everything stopped. And then she went to the man of God and said, look at what had happened. And Elisha said, now you go and sell some of that and pay your debt. You will pay your debt. And then live up the rest. And then the child of that woman died. And then Elisha was told, he went there and power came. That child got up. Premature death will be canceled. And all the things who have been suffering, this one is sick, that one is down, that one is in the hospital, that one, they say, the doctor said, they don't know what to do again, the prophet will know what to do. The power and the signs will come, and all the spirit of premature death will be driven away from our church in Jesus' name. And then Naaman came from a faraway country, from the enemy country, and Elisha did not have to come out, did not have to, you know, do anything, rigmarole and rolling on the ground. He said, go tell him to wash in Jordan 7 times, and his flesh will come back again. You know the story, the man first of all got angry. I thought he will come out, and he will put his hand in the place and recover me of the leprosy. But then eventually, the servant said, don't talk like that. What if this man had told you to do something higher, something greater? Would you not have done that? And eventually accepted. He went to River Jordan in obedience to the word of the man that had signs of the supernatural. When he did it for the 7th time, the flesh came back again. Your flesh will come back again. Your health will come back again, and your energy will come back again in Jesus' name. And then Gehazi, his servant, said, look at my master. Look at cheap money that came in, but Elisha will not take any amount. And then he sneaked out and went to Naaman and said, you know, my servant, my master, just has some visitors now, and we don't need more, just 2 changes of raiment and this and that. And then they packed everything and gave him. And then he entered in and, you know, was doing service as usual. And Elisha said, Gehazi, yes, here I am. Where have you been? Nowhere. I've been here all the time. And he said, did not my spirit go with you when you went to that man? And then this is what you did, and that's what you did. Word of knowledge, everything came out very well. And then the power of miracles, signs and wonders, the leprosy of Naaman come upon you. And then you understand, Elisha, Syria was waging war against the people of God, and Elisha in his own room, I pray the signs will come. I pray the signs will be upon your life. It will be upon your family. An enemy will never surprise you to destroy any of your children, any of your family members, in Jesus' name. And then Elisha said, go tell the king of Israel is planning to come and destroy you. That's what he's saying. Eventually, the king of Israel became concerned and said, who is the spy here? Who is going to tell the king of Israel that this is happening? This is what we are planning. Let me read the answer to you in 2 Kings. We're looking at chapter 6. 2 Kings, looking at chapter 6 there. And you will see what they said. 2 Kings, now chapter 6. And we're reading from verse 11. In 2 Kings, chapter 6, reading from verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled, the signs were troubled them. The signs were perplexed them. His heart was so troubled for this sin. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says, and one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet. Elisha, the prophet. Remember, we see not our signs, neither is there any prophet, and we do not know how long this will be, but a prophet will appear. The power of God will appear. And so Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, he telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. You know the story. And he said, if that is so, I'll get rid of him. They cannot get rid of you. Their powers cannot destroy you. You will finish your assignment, and when you finish, if you even want extra time, you say, Lord, I've done this, but there's too much field that there's still to be covered. I want extra year. Where are you? You'll get it in Jesus' name. And then eventually he said, and then early in the morning, the servant of Elisha woke up and said, my father, what are we going to do? Because of all those chariots, they thought they will capture Elisha. They will not capture you. They thought they will destroy him, and all that knowledge and all that revelation, everything will go. No, it will not go, because this man, having the double portion of the Spirit of God, is here to do something. You will do something. And then Elisha said unto his servant, fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then those people came, they wanted to catch Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. And the man of God did not hide somewhere. They're coming. We cannot go out anymore. We cannot do evangelism anymore. He came out and he said, who are you looking for? They said, they're looking for Elisha, the prophet. I'll take you to the person you really want to see. Because he had prayed, God blindfold them. And they were blind. They were looking, they were seeing, but they could not perceive. They will not see you. They will not detect you. And then he led them to the king of Israel. When the king of Israel saw them, look at mighty chariot. My father, should I kill them? How will you kill the people that you have got like this? Give them food. Let them go back to their master. Those people, they came back. They went back. They had a lot of story to tell. They said, that man is indestructible. I'm talking about you. I said, that man is indestructible. That woman is indestructible. The point is that the psalmist looked at their history in the past, and he said, anytime there was a God appointed prophet, well, we saw the sign, and then there was no trouble anymore. That's point number one, the past signs among God's purchased people. Let's look at point number two now. When the people of God, when they do not have the signs, Some other people will rise up, the magicians of Egypt and the astrologers of Babylon. They will rise up and they'll be deceiving the people. And look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, we're reading from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13, reading from verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and give thee a sign or a wonder, when the true prophets are not there, when the true signs are not there, when the true supernatural power of God, when the real baptism in the Holy Ghost is not there, then some other pseudoscience will come, and then they will say they have a dream. They will not deceive you. They will not deceive me. Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, and the sign and the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. That's always the purpose of those who have the false sign and the false prophets. Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Then we're told in verse 3, it says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. That was easy at the time of Moses, since the signs were available, the power was available, water coming out of the rock and manna coming from heaven, and then Joshua on the battlefield, and he just lifts up the rock, and the Joshua will be defeating all the enemy. It will be easy not to follow the false prophet. But when there's no sign, when there's no prophet, when there's no power, when everything is at a standstill, when prayer is not being answered, when solutions are not coming over people that have problems, and when they are oppressed and they're depressed, and you know they're having mental problem, mental derangement, and nobody is able to solve any problem, well, if the false prophets come, they'll be considering, where do I go? When in your community, when in our church, you know, the people, this one is sick, that one is depressed, that one is going to psychiatric, and that one is, poor, and that one is dying of hunger, and then somebody comes, a false prophet now, and he said, they have doctrine, they have Bible, and they will quote from Genesis to Revelation, but there's no power. And they say, come over here, come for power. The people who are not very wise, and the people who do not know the edge of going to the false prophet, they will go there. And if they go there, what's going to happen? You will be laboring, and then the false prophets will stay somewhere, and he'll be attracting them with this and with that. That will stop. I said that will stop. That's what it says. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you, is examining you, is proving you, is trying you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In verse 4, it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Look at that commandment of the Lord. If you tell your children and you say, if anybody gives you biscuits, don't accept. If they give you granules, don't accept. If they give you food, don't accept. Well, that's good commandment from the parent. But the children come home and then there's no bread, there's nothing to drink, and there's no money to even buy anything at all, and their clothes are worn, and there is no money, everything is like that. But you're reminding them, don't ever get anything from those strangers, anybody you don't know, don't get anything from them. But they are hungry. Eventually, they will go against what we are saying. But if there is food at home, And if there is everything, if it's plenty, and you tell them the fridge is there, anything you need, go there and take. And then after you have made enough provision, and the provisions are there, and you now tell them, don't take biscuit from stranger, don't take this from stranger, will they obey? Yes, they will obey, because there's abundant provision for them. But if we're just giving them commandment, 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 no power, commandment, no provision, commandment, there's no answered prayer, commandment, no sign, commandment, but the supernatural is not there, it will be difficult for them to obey. But things are going to become easier. Easier in your family. Easier in your life. The people will understand that all the provision they will ever need is in the house. And as they come here, and as they come to your local church, as they are stepping in there, and they call the God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the God of deeper life, instantaneously, all their infirmities will vanish away in Jesus' name. Even if the people of the world are jobless, our people will not be jobless. If the people of the world are sick and dying, our people will not be sick and dying in Jesus' name. Power, power evangelism. Power, power, powerful message that is coming to them, and the faith of everyone will rise when they hear that testimony there, that testimony there, when they say that, when they see that a sick pastor prayed and that sickness instantaneously vanished away. I couldn't sleep before, but as the group pastor prayed for me, I slept like a baby. And this was happening to me before. As I came to the service, I was not even prayed for. Every bad thing vanished away, and now I have strength, and now I have power. I'm telling you, faith will rise. Your own faith will rise. The faith level of the church will rise in Jesus' name. But if we don't see our signs, the past signs are no more there at the present hour. All we can hear about is all the people that don't have holiness, that are preaching healing, the power, that do not have the signs, the supernatural. They are the people that are talking about signs and wonders. The people that don't have sanctification, they don't have a pure life, a holy life, a righteous life. They don't know about rapture. They don't know about the coming of the Lord, and they don't emphasize everything the Bible emphasizes. They are the people that are producing backyard miracles. They are producing false miracles. Are people be running about? But now the time has come. Our time has come. All the running about will come to an end in Jesus' name. But please understand that there are false signs and wonders outside, but the Lord is telling us, if we will get the real thing, all those things that are false, they'll just be like the rod of the magicians, where we'll swallow them up. Look at Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading from verse 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're reading from verse 24. For there shall be arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. We have the doctrine, where are the signs? And we have the Bible, where are the signs? And we have the message, where are the signs? And we have the life of a real believer, a righteous life, a rapturable life. But where are the signs? There are false prophets that will do whatever they want to do, and then they shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Check up around you. Those who have been coming to deeper life in those days of great revival of old, and then when eventually maybe they had problem and the problems were not solved, and they say, what am I going to do now? They pray and they have some friends to pray together, and then they fasted and the problem was still there. Many of them have gone astray. And many of them have gone to that place and that place and that place. You see them now, And you say, is the problem now totally solved? Well, they said, I'm still waiting on the Lord. It will come, because they're deceiving them and they are telling them everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. They say, if you come today and you don't get it today, come next time. And then they will put a big name on what they're going to do. I'm going to talk to you next week on the atomic power of the Holy Ghost. Even though the fellow is not getting anything, he says, maybe I'll get it next week, because they're going to talk about the atomic power of the Holy Ghost. And then he comes and the man talks about atomic power. He doesn't even know the real atomic power of the bomb. And he's talking about this other one now. And then they pray and do various things and nothing happens. He said, you know, it will come. It will come. As you are faithful, the Lord is testing you to see that you are faithful. They always say something to tie them down. And here we are. The signs will come back. Amen. The power will come back. Amen. And then you're going to do something. You will identify all the people who have gone away, because they are in search for signs and they are in search of the supernatural. And as you write to them, you list them in your own group and you list them in your own region, and then you write to them and you say, come, power has come back. The good old days have come back. And then all they're looking for is for solution. And if the solution is there, they will come. If the power manifestation is there, they will come. They will leave all those places where they're being deceived, and they will come to have the real thing in Jesus' name. As your time come, as our time come, look at verse, look at Matthew chapter 7, we're reading from verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, we're reading from verse 21. It says in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of God being born again, the will of God living a righteous life, the will of God being a new creature in Christ, the will of God, the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the will of God. The will of God to go out and reach out and bring them, the outsiders, into salvation. He says, only the people that do the will of God, they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name I've done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Your name was never in the book of life. All these people, miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural, healing, and deliverance come. And then they always have something every week. The signboard is there. The posters are there. And yet, with all the pretended prophecies and with all the false signs and wonders, Jesus said, I will tell them, I never knew you. How is it we'll be losing members to the people where there's no salvation and there's no holiness of life, but the people are being deceived, because we ourselves, the bona fide children of God, the people that should have the signs and the wonders, the signs, if they are happening, nobody can see. That's why they are running to the false people. We're going to stop and we're going to close that back door where people are going away from our church in Jesus' name. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All those people with false signs and false wonders, they are walking iniquity. And Jesus said, whatever they are doing will not get them to the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven on the final day. But praise the Lord, you'll get to that kingdom. I said you'll get to that kingdom. You're born again. you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're serving the Lord in all sincerity. But now you must have the promised sign. And the promise supernatural, and you can become another man, changed and turned to another man in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, the Lord said, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There is no promise that any other person has claimed that you cannot claim. Calvary is the same for you and for me and for everyone. Provision is the same for everyone. And if you are wondering, and if you are asking, and if you are pleading, and if you are praying, and if you are tarrying before the Lord, and you are saying, where are the signs and where are the prophets? Oh Lord, I want to be an answer to this prayer. I am praying, God will move in. The power of God will move in. And every weakness in your life, every weakness in your ministry, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. Point number three now. In point number three, we're looking at the promise supernatural for purified godly people. The promise supernatural for godly people, purified people, sanctified people. You are a candidate. I said you are a candidate. Mark chapter 16, reading from verse 17. Mark chapter 16, we're reading from verse 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Thank God, I'm a believer. I say, thank God, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. Say that, I believe in Jesus. I believe in all the promises of God. I believe God is who he says he is. I believe that God is who he says he is. I believe I am who God says I am. I believe I have what God says I have. I believe. I can do what God says I can do. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus is my strength. I believe Jesus is the power of my life. I believe I have Christ. I have power. I have the supernatural. I have the signs. He lives on the inside of me. He that believeth in me, the works I do, he shall do. And greater works than this shall he do. Because I go to the Father. You are the believer. I said you are the believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, do you have the name? That's all you need. In my name shall they cast out devils. No demon will stand before you. No power of darkness will stand before you. They shall speak with new tongues. New tongues, no more a discouraged tongue, and no more saying, I never have anything, I never get anything. When I pray, God does not answer. We have to go to Bagada and then see the GS before I can be healed. Change your language. Change that tongue. New language. I said new language. The language of power. The language of authority. The language of an achiever. The language of a conqueror. You will have in Jesus' name. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, they shall take off serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You will not die before your time. The world will not kill you before your time. It says, nothing will hurt you. And they shall lay their hands on the sick. They shall lay their hands on the sick. What are those hands who are going to lay on the sick? Your hands, they are anointed in Jesus' name. You will not die. and sick people will not die under your anointed hand in Jesus' name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Your wife will recover. Your husband will recover. Your children will recover. All those neighbors, they will recover in Jesus' name. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, and they went forth as you are going forth. I said you are going forth. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your helper. I'm your supporter. I will hold your hand and I will lift you up. Because you are waiting upon the Lord, I will renew your strength. You will run. You will not be weary. You will walk and you will not faint. And he went with them, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word of your mouth, confirming the word of your message, confirming the word of promise in your mouth with signs following. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, we're reading from verse 19. In Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 19, it says, behold, I give you power. Where is the person there? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing from the sea, nothing from the sky, nothing from the village, nothing from the bush, nothing from the shine, nothing from the paths of darkness, nothing shall by any means hurt you. The time has come. Your time has come. Isaiah chapter 8, we're reading from verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8, we're reading from verse 18. It says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Behold, the children, where are those children? Behold, the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in this land. You are for signs and wonders. I said you are for signs and wonders. Open your mouth wide and the Lord will fill it. He will not withhold any good thing from those that love him and the people that call upon him. This is your time. This is your hour, the hour of your power, and the power of your hour. Whatever you ask, he will give unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. The door is open before you now. Rise up and say, Lord, here am I, here am I. I'm one of those children of God. I'm one of those servants of God. I am for sign. I am for wonder in the land of promise. You're in the land of promise. You're in the church. And you can ask the Lord, where are the signs? And where are the prophets? Open your mouth and let the Lord answer you.